Okay, after such an introduction, what shall I say, you know? I wanted to think together about a basic topic, where I think that is the central topic which everyone deals with it, when he deals with children, when he deals with students, when he deals with other people. That means, as an act of education, we want to give over some values. That's right. I think that's what we want. We have some values that is independent where we are holding. That is a thing which is, we have more strict and more clear values. We'll speak about that. We have other values, but every single act of education includes something that you want to give over values, yeah? To the child or to the student. There's some values to go over. That, I think, is the basic ingredient which is crucial for everyone who wants to make chinuch. Now, what does that mean? Because I think there is a great value. I want to educate. I want to educate to, let's say, I hold of intelligence. Yeah? But what shall I do? I have to educate to intelligence. Intelligence, let's say the given intelligence for a boy, that's more or less what he is, what it is. So how should I educate towards that? What do I educate when I want to have education? It's a very not good endeavor when you want to educate to intelligence that everyone knows when he's teaching children. Yeah? You don't educate towards intelligence. Because that's or inherent or that is more or less given, there's not too much space to do that. What is that I want to give over value? What it is that it is something which I feel I have, a human trait, or I personally identify with some quality, which this quality which I identify, I want to give over to the next generation or to my students. Yeah? It's not that a quality which I have or which is there as an ideal. I don't want to educate towards someone something which is a dry given. No, I want to educate. Real education is always to a value is that we have something. I have a heritage. I have something with me. I have identification with Torah mitzvot. I have identification with some ethical values. And that's what real education means. I try to bring my student or my child that he should also have that, but I myself have a certain relationship to that. I think that's what we do. So that means the first step in educating is based on something which is called we don't want to lose the existing qualities. Okay? That's a very basic thing which we once in a while lose vision of that because we think we can educate to something which by us is not existent. This is the general rule in education. You can't give over a value which you yourself don't have. You can't do that because that's exactly like education towards intelligence. Now, I myself, let's say I have an IQ from 85, yeah, ganz fine, but I want to have that my child should have an IQ from 110. I can't educate to that because, no, that's the education doesn't work like this. Even though you would want that it would be like this, you can't do that. Education is always based on that you have something with you, you are identifying yourself with something, and this identification, this personal acquirement, it's not such a nice word to acquire because that sounds like an item which you acquire, but this personal quality which is within you, this quality you have, this quality you want not to lose in the next generation, that or in the by your students, yeah? That's what real education is about. Okay? So that is the inner core of that rule that you can't educate towards something where you are not holding. You can't. Yeah? Okay, don't be religious with that. That's why you are not 100% holding, but you don't hold the quality. You are not part of this quality. You want to educate towards. You are deprived of education. You can't do that. But what does that mean? That you don't want to lose this quality. This is like what education is. I have something with me. I have, for example, I came from a liberal home. A liberal home has certain ingredients which are compatible with this black and white suit I have. And I have the liberal home which is once in a while incompatible with this one. Yeah? But they are compatible things. Compatible things means that I was brought up with an awareness that a person has inner worth, an inner value. That was very much a part of my education. That is the liberalism, you know, that you are worth because you have a certain, you decide and it's your thing, but it's worthwhile because you did it. That is a very big part of my personal bringing up. So that's a thing which I have. Now, when I want to educate my children in this Haredi community where I live within Yerushalayim, I live within that community, and I have to bring them up towards that a person has a value. This is a tricky thing, but I want to do that because I myself have this identification with that value, and I want to educate them towards that. That's always what education is. You are holding somehow by something, and you don't want to get it lost because of the environment, because of other things. Yes? Okay? So that's the first step in you educating someone else. That means the first step in education is lying by yourself. And you yourself have to know that the thing you want to educate to has to be so strong by you that you really don't want to lose it. Now, when you have a quality which you don't want to lose, this intrinsic drive that you do not want to lose something which you have, that is the backbone of the thing which is called Yirat Shamayim. You have once heard that expression, Yirat Shamayim, when you, Rabbi Sachs, once you speak about that, rarely, that's right? Very rarely. Why do you speak rarely about that? Because when you speak about Yirat Shamayim, then all the red and black lights go on, you know, and then you think Yirat Shamayim, that's something very scary, that's something which you better don't mention, because the people will be hooked off, you know? That's better not to say. But it is, I think so, but this is a mistake. We have to always understand the concept, and then when we understand the concept, we will be able to see that this concept is a very modern concept. The backbone of Yirat Shamayim means that you have things which are from positive value, let's say like this, a positive value within yourself. You have things like this which you do not want to lose. You are scared to use it, to lose it. Scared doesn't mean you are OCD. Scared doesn't mean you are trembling the whole time, but you are scared. You don't want to lose that. That is the backbone of Yirat Shamayim. This is not known so much, but I can't give it to you. There are ones for sure, there are several people over here which heard that once. There is a quotation of the Rambam where he speaks about the unpleasant situation that you have to force a person to do something which is a thing which is obligated. And then the Rambam says, why isn't it considered that he did it out of enforcement? He has to do that thing out of his free will. Why didn't he do it out of enforcement? Then the Rambam says, because inside every single Jew wants to keep up all the mitzvahs. You heard that once? The Rambam, that's right. I think that one, once you say it, yeah? That you do say it. Yeah? That we say, yeah? Okay, so the Rambam says that a Jewish person inside has this desire to keep up all the mitzvahs. The Rambam does not say that exactly. He says something slightly different. He says like this. A Jewish person wants to be a Jew. And that's why he wants to keep up all the mitzvahs. So the basic desire is to be Jewish. And that one he doesn't want to lose. He doesn't want to lose his connection to the Jewish community. He doesn't want to lose his connection to Judaism. He doesn't want to lose his connection to the whole society. And that's why he wants and he understands that when he will not do that specific act which is spoken out there, when he will not do that specific act, he will lose that connection. He will be an outcast. And he doesn't want that. And that's why he wants to do the mitzvahs. That's what the Rambam says. So you see, there is not, Yiras Shamayim doesn't mean that you have a positive desire to do all the things. But you have one basic ingredient, which is the backbone of everything you do. The basic ingredient is this. You do not want to lose the thing you have. You do not want to lose this inner connection, this inner quality. Now, you can say it is your relationship or you relating or being connected with the Jewish nation. It could be also other qualities that already is not so important for me. I can say, it means, Yiras Shamayim means that I don't want to lose my being a little bit liberal, the way I said beforehand. I don't want to lose that. Or I don't want to lose my mindset of chesed, that I want to make other people happy, which that is a family value by us. I want to give that over. Yeah? So this is all these different values you have, and you see, you have them, they are inherent within you, they are there, and those are these values which you really don't want to lose, and those values you have to give over, or you want to give over to the next generation. I think that's what is real education. I think that's what real education means. We are not aware of that. That means the backbone of education is Yiras Shamayim. Now, when I would tell that to you without this explanation, then you would say the black man, the backbone of Yiras Shamayim is Yiras Shamayim. No, that's not for us. But that's what it means. The backbone, you can't educate when you are not really like being afraid. You are not really into that this quality should not be lost. You can't educate without that. You cannot do that. It will be an education which is based on making up a show. You make up a show and you make the play and you are playing it out nicely, but it will not do the work because it's not for real. And the student or your child will immediately feel that that's not so important, and you can ship around that. But when something is important for you, then you are able to begin education. So the backbone of the education is Yiras Shamayim. I don't want to lose it. Yeah? That's me. But now I have a child in front of me which he absolutely wants to lose that. That's why I have to. That's right. That's why I want to. I have to educate him. Yeah? Whenever that will be okay and everyone has that, and now I am really about, I don't want to lose that, and it's very important for me. And now the other one also, that's very important for him. Then, well, no problem of education, smooth, no generation gap, and nothing happens. Everything goes smoothly from one generation to the other because everyone has the same values and wants the same thing. Now, it's not like this. It is not. You have to try to instill this value, which is so important for you, and you really don't want to lose that. You have to instill that in your students or into your children. Yeah? So that's a tricky situation. And you have to understand first, when you are dealing with education, you have to understand first, this creates a tension. This creates an intrinsic tension between you and the student or the child. Because by you, this is important. And again, by the child or by your student, let's say child. Lomar opius, though, yeah? I can't always say that. So by your child, this is not important. Yeah? In the meantime, this is not important. And this creates a tremendous tension. A tension which most of the times is leading towards rage and towards impatience and towards that you say, but you have to do it because it's so important for you. Yeah? So that's a big question of Chochmas Chinuch. You have to have the skill of education to bridge that gap. That there is a gap between the perception of you and the perception of the other side. Because the other side, your child, is not seeing that with the same importance as you. Okay? But again, you can't get out of that grip. You can't get out of that. Because you can't get out and say, okay, I educate in a more relaxed way and not so important. Then you lost your basis under your feet, because it's based on that it's important for you, because you want to give that over to the next generation. But on the other side, you have this problem that your child is not looking at the world from the same standpoint as you, and this creates a very big difficulty in education. That's why, the first thing Rabbi Yisrael says, that the first thing in education is sablonis. Sablonis means that you have patience. But patience over here, Rabbi Yisrael, in that context of education, says you have to base your patience not only on your good midas. No, it's not enough. You have to base your patience on a very big and overpowering argument. You have to think, I myself also have my flaws. I myself also, I am not perfect. So even that I think this is very important, and I think this is a very central point of being human or being Jewish or being whatever we want, that's a central point, but I also have my difficulties in other areas. So Mimela, when he has a difficulty, not too bad, I will be patient with that boy. This is a very strong antidote for patience. Because normally you say, you know, you have to have good meters and don't be so enraged. You know, be quiet, calm. It doesn't help. Because it's so important for you. That's the point. Because this thing is so important for you that will make you blow up. This is the tension. The tension between your own importance and the ignorance of the other side makes that you will be enraged. The setup of education in that way will bring you to a point where you will be impatient. And you have to fight that with a very big weapon. And the weapon is that you tell yourself, you know, also I have my own difficulties for things to actualize things which I very much should understand them, but it's even though difficult for me. So Meila, that's the antidote, Rabbi Saul says. That's a very big antidote. It only shows to us how difficult this tension is to handle. It's a very difficult tension to handle, but it's definitely there. I want to be ehrlich, I want to be honest. I could say a shir on chinuch in a very nice and flowery way, you know, say, you have to love your children and that's it, you know. So that would be really go over and very nice, but it would be not so practical and it would be not so ehrlich, because the difficulty of chinuch begins just there where I told you now. That's the difficulty of chinuch. You know, that is the difficulty of chinuch, that your value system has to go over and the other one doesn't see that. Yeah? That is the difficulty of chinuch. Whenever everything goes smooth, so okay, so I have myself children, which the only thing I had to do is not to destroy them. That's it, you know? That's it. The best thing would be when I would go out of home, and they would be alone, they would grow in a very nice way. Most probably, whatever they have now is partly of my destruction, because they would be better without me. But I have other children which are not like this. No, the other case, they very much were not in the beginning, not in sync what I want. And we had to educate different children. Yeah? So their education begins. Education begins there. But then everything goes smooth, so everything goes smooth. I don't know whether someone is here, which by him, everything goes smooth always. So perhaps, you know, South Africa, it looks like, you know, everything goes smooth and fine and no problems. But most of the times you have these difficulties with your children or with your students, which are exactly based on that difficulty that for you it's important and it's clear, and for the other side it's not clear and not important. Yeah? Okay, first thing is be patient. Till when do I speak?
10 minutes.
Another 10 minutes?
15 minutes. How long, everybody?
No. How long?
20 minutes.
Aha, okay, I will do it. That was so exciting to speak over here, so okay, we'll see what it is. No, it's okay. No, I'll finish in time, okay? Good. Okay, so now you have to find a way that, okay, let's go. You have to find a way how to identify how to make the boy or the, your child to identify that he has a, he relates to that quality. Huh? You have to identify that. So first of all, what you need to do, so I say that a little bit, what you need to do is that you have to bring the child through that, that you put in front of him certain clear demands, which the clear demands, and let's say it like this. Okay, I'm making it a shortcut a little bit, never mind. But, you know, when you have a thing which is important for you, so the importance of you lies here. But when you do understand what that means, what's important for you, you can't say the red line. That means a thing which below that is unacceptable could be much lower. Yeah? For example, liberalism. Liberalism, when I want to have that people should value every single person with his value, so I am very much into that, that my children should be moved by that. Let's say that one. When Obama became president in America, I was very moved. That was my liberal education. You know? Haha! He's schlecht, you know? A person from nowhere. Able to be president of the United States. You know? He was a black man. And he is able to be a president of the United States. That was for me a very moving moment. For my children, it was a disaster. Yeah? My children looked at me and said, Abba, Tata, Kidli, Ma Karalacha. You don't know that he is Muslim and he's anti-Semite and he will shoot you. And I say, no, he won't do that. He's a good man. And that's unbelievable. That is my liberalism. And my children did not share that vision by no means. So now I don't have to fight this level. No, I understand them. I understand that for them, that a Muslim or someone which is, I don't know what, but he will be president of the United States, that this is for them a disaster, I understand. I identify with that? No. But there are other levels of liberalism which are there, you know. There are once in a while people in Israel, they are able to relate only to the very same level as them, you know. They even don't have to be also black. They have to have the same color of black, you know? There are different colors of black. So they have to have the same color, otherwise I can't relate to them. So once in a while that goes like this, no. This is unacceptable for me. There is a red line. The red line is not where I want them to be with me. I have to understand, what does it mean to be more accepting of people, to be more liberal? What does that mean? When I want to educate my child towards a quality, I have to understand a little bit of that quality and a lot of that quality is the same. Be careful. That is a very big rule in chinuch. When you want to be mechanic, when you want to educate towards a quality in a person, so quality is absolutely independent of quantity. Yeah? Whenever you have a quality of liberalism, for example, then it doesn't make a difference whether that is that expresses itself in the very big context of whatever you want or in a very small context. But it has to express itself somewhere. And when you see that there is a red line that says, this is the minimum which I demand from the child, that first you have to do. You have to set such a line in your education that you say there is a certain minimum amount of this quality, chesed, caring for the other, being committed to Torah mitzvahs, being liberal, whatever you want, but you have to understand what does that mean. The way we try to understand together, what does it mean, Yirat Shamayim? By you, Yirat Shamayim was like a big thing, which had was all tinted black, you know, or whatever it is, you know. So now, and then when you understand what it means, then you can go down and say, even a small amount of that thing is also the same quality. Over here too. In every single thing you want to educate, you have to understand what is the least amount which I want that this person should have. Yeah? And then this when you are an educator, and this is the strictness of the, I don't know whether today you are educated with strictness, but then the strictness of the educator kicks in. You have to be strict about that. It has to be, in a certain way below or in the range where the child is, or below where the child is. You can't have a red line which is above where he is, otherwise you are running after him and you don't catch him up. Yeah, the red line is under, below where he is. Yeah, does it doch move on? That is understood by himself, you know, that you have to do that. It's something which is more simple than where he's holding, but that's the red line. And then there you are strict. Whenever you see that the child will cross that line, for example, when you are educated towards chesed, I don't know how you say that in English.
Chesed.
Yeah? Loving kindness, you know. Okay, chesed. You say you are educated towards chesed, you are educated towards that, then there is a minimum which you can't be cruel. For example, by me, the minimum in chesed was you don't wake up a sibling from sleep. You do not do that. No, no. No, you do not. This, my children, you do not do that. Otherwise, I hit you. You know? That's not pleasant to get a patch from me, believe me. So that's it. That's a red line. That was the red line. But that was much simpler than when they're holding. But once in a while, this comes in, you know? You want to listen to music, and you have a friend over, and then you forget about, and you speak loud, and your sibling is sleeping, and then... then you get it from me, and then you say, no, no. Or you go out, and you let your brother sleep, and you don't do this rush, you don't do this noise. That is unacceptable by me. That was my red line. But there, I was strict. The strictness helps this child to see that he has that. Because you have to help him. You have to help the child that he is discerning this quality by him. Yeah? You are believing that he has that quality. That's the basic belief you have in a child, but you have to reveal that quality. Strictness has the possibility to reveal a quality, but only when the quality is underneath where the child is holding. When the strictness is about something which is above the child, strictness will harm the child. You understand that? Because when I demand from the child, you have to be like this, and I'm strict with that, I make him a sugar. I think that's an English word, you know. And they drive him with sugar, and he will only be pressed from me. But when the red line is underneath where he's holding, and I'm strict about that, I help him to see, aha, yeah, that's really a normal thing. My children were very much able to admit that that's a very normal thing, not to wake other people up from their sleep, you know. That's a very normal thing. I helped them to see that, but you can make that only through strictness. But the strictness has to be in a place where it's below where they are holding, and then they reveal this quality. And now comes in, there's another 10 minutes, that's what you told me. And now comes in that the next stage, that's only short, but the next stage in education then has to be that you give the person a place how to be creative with that, how to work with that. Now, this is the tricky, this is one of the most tricky things in your education and also in religious education, that you give the person a free space to tinker and to work with that. Because normally you don't have a free space, you know, you're always obligated. You have to know that the free space that the person is able to do his own thing is a very basic thing in personal growth. Because you want the child himself growing. You don't want the child being a robot of your commands. You want the child himself growing. But himself growing is only able to grow himself when there is a seed. So what I said beforehand, that reveals the seed. That means you are revealing that you have, it's something which is there with you. And then you try to make that grow. You try to make that grow, that can be in action. That can be also in a discussion. For example, when you want to discuss liberalism, the way I said, that was only at Samazi, because of, I don't know, when I thought about Guido, you know, liberalism. So liberalism about Chesed or Chesed, whenever you want. That can be in action, that can also be in a discussion. When you have a discussion on Shabbos table, so it's much more important you discuss a liberalism thing or a chesed thing than you discuss the parsha. Much more important, because that's your chinuch environment. There you make the child being growing within his perception what means chesed. What do? You have to give the child the possibility that he's able to produce something from himself. This is one of the biggest non-healthy thing in a religious or in a authoritative home, you would call that. It's not good that you always come with the knowledge in your pocket, you know. You sit by the Shabbos table and you ask a question, and then you ask a question, and then the child says something, and then you say, yeah, what you say, Rashi says. And then the other one says something, and says, yeah, your pshat, that is, Dora Chaim says it, you know. And then, and when you want, I have here other pshati, and I have other things in my pockets. My pockets are full. When I speak with my children, my pockets are empty. There's nothing there. It's a genuine discussion, and a genuine speaking about chesed or about what it is, and my children have no fear to utter and to speak out what they really think. And that makes them grow. That makes them produce things within that realm. They are having their own insight. What does it mean to be accepting, to accept other people? They have their own insight. What does it mean to be a Baal Chesed, to do good with other people? They have their own insight. They have their own thought. That's what they are growing. And you have to give them the opportunity to have their own thought. This is the thing, I only want to tell you that, this is the thing in today's society, the way we are holding now, it's a scary thing. People have no own thoughts altogether. They only have imported thoughts. Yeah? What's valuable for you, for the most people in the Torah community, is that someone has vast knowledge. And whatever you ask him, he's able to quote by heart books. And he's able to quote everything. But the main point of this is that one can produce new knowledge. He can't only reproduce existing knowledge. No, your brain is there to produce new knowledge. Your growth, your own insight, your own feeling for that you can produce. And today, we don't do that. Today, you don't give the opportunity. Today, when you have a discussion with your children, most probably because, again, that's the trap. Because you, by you, it's important, and by you, you know it, and by you, you worked on that, and now what you can do, you give over to your children, and whenever there is a discussion, you give over your insight, and you push your things forcefully down the throat, and then you think you educated them. No, you just now destroyed education. Because you have to give the opportunity for the child that he should utter his own thought. Even when you have a religious upbringing. I don't want to give you now the dogma, because I had that thing with myself in saying Perushim in Teure. My children produced unbelievable things out of that they knew that I genuinely asked them a question. I didn't ask them a question because I know the answer and I only want to prove, to look whether they know what I know. No, I really don't know what the answer is. And then they also engage in the discussion and they produce unbelievable things. But this is the own production in things which are important for you. Yeah, you reveal that inner seed and then you have to give the opportunity that the child should say something. And then you shape it a little bit, you know. The tree is not always growing the way you want, and then you, with the time, you cut something, and then you cut something else. But you give the thing to grow by itself. Otherwise, it doesn't grow. Yeah? Today, in today's society, this is one of the most unbelievable distortion. It is, you call that it's impoverishing, you know, it makes you schrecklich. That is what today is called, when I may say this word, that's called the internet. The internet is the problem with the internet, what you think, not what everyone thinks. It's just this point. It makes you knowledgeable without producing anything in here, only with gathering information. You gather information. You gather information from unbelievable sources, I believe. Yeah? You're sitting in the library with 15 billion books. You can open them at once. You don't have to get up from your chair, you know? And there you are and gather information and you feel you are intelligent. Excuse me, you are a full-blown idiot. That's what you are. No brain. Because the brain is there to produce information. The brain is not there to gather information. The brain is there to produce something new, which was not there before. That's what is there. And you lose that. And you educate your children like this. In today's secular education, that's what it is, you know. You give homework and you have to gather information out of this computer and then you feel you did something sensible. You did the most idiotic thing just now, you know. Because you deprived yourself from this process that you have to produce your own thoughts. Which that's what you are there for. You produce your own insight, you produce your own growth, you produce your own thought. And that's, in today's society, nearly gone. No one does that. There's no need for it. You can't come through without that. You go through without that, you know, you don't even need that. You can be very intelligent, highly knowledgeable, and you are very much appreciated from everyone when you are not producing anything by yourself. Only imported. Only there from other sources. That's what it is. Nothing more, yeah? That's what today is. The modern society is scary. When you think about that, it's unbelievable scary. It is the deprivation of chinuch. It's impoverishment of your own seichel. Yeah? It's poor people. Poor people. Yeah? And it's deprivation of chinuch. You can't educate like this. It's impossible. Because you can't make the thing grow. Because everything grows only from itself. Every tree, every flower grows only from itself, not from something else. You can't grow from something imported. You have to grow from yourself. That means you have to produce something from yourself. And you have to give the opportunity to your child to do that. Those are the three steps. First, it has to be important for you. That's Yirat Shamayim. It has to be important for you. And then you're feeling this tension. It's important for you and not important for the other one. And now this unimportance for the other one, now you have to reveal that the other person, your child, is able to see that there is a point. This comes through that you understand what it's wanted. It's not only this dry level you think about, you understand what liberalism or what chesed means, and then you tune it down, till you reach a point below where the child is holding now, and this is the red line. But there you are strict, and you are strict in order that he should reveal, aha, it makes sense that you should have care, you should care for another person in chesed, for example. You should care, it makes sense. And when it makes sense, and you bring the child to that, you have to have an open discussion on a Shabbos table, or whatever it is, that takes time, it needs patience, but it takes time, have open discussion, to speak about these things, and you let them produce, not reproduce. You let them produce their own insight in this issue. And that makes them grow. And that is a growing factor where they will be growing and they will be educated. I think that's a basic thing in our own education, which is really based on Yirat Shamayim. You see, it's not so scary. To be something based on Yirat Shamayim, that's a very sensible thing. And this whole thing, which I told you today, it's really a basic how to base your education on that quality, which is called Yirat Shamayim. That's what I want to tell you. Now it's 11:20. It was exactly 20 minutes. Okay, I think I finish now. At Atkan.
Maybe there's some questions for the Rav, please.
Yes. But that's good. No, I think that is. No, I never did that. It was always for care. But my children was. I tell you what. You can go. Whenever you, I stand in the way of you. You have a simcha today.
No, I'm fine. I'm really fine.
You're fine.
Carry on.
No, I don't want to carry on. But you know. But in Torah itself, your children are able to produce things which you couldn't believe. They produce out of that they understand, that they may say something without quoting a source. I myself, a lot of times when I speak, even in public, I don't quote sources. I don't quote sources. Because when I quote sources, this is in a certain way overpowering the people. Because when I tell you, I heard Rabbi Yeruchim says, so what do you want now? You want to argue with that? Do you argue with Rabbi Yeruchim? You can't argue with him, you know. Then I will tell you, and I heard Rabbi Shaul says, I only said Rabbi Shaul over here because that was stuff, yeah? But you say Rabbi Shaul says, then you can argue with that? You can't. You can't argue. But with me, you can't argue. You can argue because I'm a living person. You can't say, no, perhaps not like you. So it's you don't overpower. You try to give the space. And then they produce. I can tell you what my son produced. I tell you what Yitzhak produced, you know. That's old. You have to be knowledgeable in Torah. I don't want to bore you. Perhaps it's boring. No. So it was, you know, when they built up the Mishkan, they built up the Mishkan, the eighth day, Moshe went in with Aaron and they gave all these offerings. And Moshe told Aaron, now when we bring all these offerings, Hashem will reveal himself. The fire will come down. And they brought all the offerings and the fire didn't come down. And then Aaron said, now I'm punished because I made the golden calf. Now I'm punished because of that. And that's a big tragedy. And it doesn't work out. And then Moshe said, no. We have to pray. And they would make a prayer. Yeah, that's what Rashi says. And then the fire came down. And I asked my children a question, which I don't know till today. The answer, the real answer. But I asked a question. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu think that you have to pray? Because it was really like Aaron HaKohen. Aaron was right. He said, that's what you have to do, and then the fire will come down. And they did it, and the fire didn't come down. That's it. Finita la commedia. Why do you have to daven? That was my question. So my son said, yo, because he tried out the offerings, and it didn't work, so he tries out tefillah. So I have very learned daughters, and the learned daughter said, no, it can't be. Because our prayers are only instead of the offerings. And when the offerings didn't work, the prayer for sure doesn't work. That's what my daughter said. And now my son was sitting like this. He was hurt in his COVID, vice, something like this. He had to bring up a good answer. These older sisters, no, they are sisters, you know. He was 11 years old. Something like this before Bar Mitzvah. He thought, and then he said, Tefillah is more than offering. Where do you have that from? I don't know. Way after that, it's very simple. Now, let's say I have two things to give you. You want this one. Well, let's say that would be like that. You want this one. But for some reason, you can't get it. And instead of this one, you are ready to take this one. It has to be that this one, objectively, is worth more than that one. Because this one you want. Let's say this one is 5 rands. Yeah? But you want it. Means for you it's 6. Because you want it. But you can't get it. And you take this one instead, so this one has to be 6 rands. Yeah? That's my son. Someone thought like this? No. One of here would be able to produce that? Yeah? One of here? No. You are not able. Why not? Because you wait for Leuchter. He asked this question. He has his answers in his pockets, and he will bring out his answers. No, I do not have any answer. I don't have. It's a question which is a genuine question, and my son 100% understood. This is a question which my father is not knowledgeable. What's the answer? So now I have to produce something. So he produced something. And it was, I couldn't believe, you know. But this is a child of 11 years old which can't take something out of the pocket like this, you know. But it's not a quotation from anywhere. It's simply dealing with a problem, you know. But you can do that to your children when you give them the free space that they understand that their insight and their thought process is validated. And most of the time, because these things are important for you, his own thought process is not validated. It's worthless. It's the most he can do. Kol hakavod. You mamish reached halfway through, which I am already a long time there, you know. A very nice feeling for your child, you know? No. your child has a free space where to speak, you know? Okay? And then he'll grow. Okay? I think it's very clear. Well, yeah, was he?
So, can you allow for them to debate it, think about it, and then after it's
you are also part of the discussion, for sure. For sure you are part of the discussion. Yeah, yeah, you are part of the discussion, for sure. But it's part of the discussion. That was always, by me at home, was always part of the discussion. This, with other words, I have to say, this is a little bit reminiscent of my liberal upbringing. When I was growing up with my parents, we had a round table. There was no head of the table. I was not observant when I grew up, you know. So we had a round table, and every Friday night there was a discussion going on, and there was not once a meal without someone walked off the table because he was enraged. It was not. I don't remember one meal. Just imagine, I have six siblings, you know, and two parents like me, all around one table, and there is a Friday night. It has to blow up, and it blew up every single time, you know. There was always free discussion going on. So that's a reminiscence from that. You see, that's, for example, a value I have from home that, no, you discuss things. Now, I merge that value into my Haredi, into my religious education. I merge that into that, you know. So that is now going on like this. And my children are very religious. More than me, believe me, they go with the tzitzis outside. I don't go. I wear tzitzis, believe me. You see, I wear tzitzis, but I don't have them outside. They go outside with the tzitzis. They are more religious than me. For Vakasha, very good. Yeah, very good. But that was the discussion. Yeah. Okay. Atkan, thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.